Please turn with me in your Bibles. Congregation, we open up our Bibles to the Gospel according to Matthew, in chapter 5. We read the verse 38 to the verse 42. Matthew chapter 5, we read the verse 38 to the verse 42. Come, let us hear God's holy word. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that ask thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Amen. So reads God's precious holy word. We pray that he will speak to our hearts tonight for his name's sake. Let us pray before we come to God's word. Having our Bibles open there in Matthew chapter 5, the verse 38 to the verse 42, let us ask the Lord to help. Father, as we come to thee tonight, we are so mindful that our minds are so prone to the concerns of the week and the things that are ahead of us. And Lord, this would be an obstacle, let alone an offense to thee tonight. We are, as we've sung here, to keep calm in our souls and to seek thee and thy kingdom, and not to fret about tomorrow, not to be concerned about our troubles, but to trust in the Lord. And so, Lord, we look to thee now. Come in for the preacher. Help him. Please help him to be faithful, Lord, to thee. As a man will have to give an account, he will have to give an account for all things said in this pulpit. We ask for thy grace and help now. Through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. One of the things that these verses do is they teach us that you have to leave things in the hands of the Lord. Don't take matters in your own hands. Personal revenge, retaliation against evil done to us, maybe yourself, maybe others, may be satisfying, and that's very true. Sometimes revenge may be satisfying, at least for that moment. You have to leave things in the hands of the Lord. Don't take matters in your own hands. Sometimes when we respond to others that have treated us poorly, that have been horrible to us, that have been nasty to us, that have said things or done things in the past, vicious things, hurtful things, and then we do something back, for a few moments perhaps, those things can be satisfying, but they can also be soul destructive. They can be very destructive to the soul, and it's certainly not the will of God to take matters in our own hands. In other words, personal vendettas, retaliation is not the way for the Christian. But rather the Christian is to have the prayer and the spirit of Jeremiah in Jeremiah 15:15, O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me. And revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. And you remember in some of the opening verses here, blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And you know theirs is the kingdom of heaven. These are God's children suffering for righteousness' sake. And Peter reminds us that it should not ever be so for the Christian that he's suffering for his own sins. This is a bad thing in the world. To suffer in the world whether it's your employment place, whether it's others that are perhaps annoyed with you because you've been dishonest or you've been an unkind person. It ought to never be the case that a Christian is being reproved in this world because of bad behavior or bad conduct. But what about those times when people do us wrong? How should we respond? Well, there is a sense that revenge, you know, we like to see the baddies lose and the goodies win, don't we? The kind of films that people watch and the books that they read, we generally feel satisfied when the bad get paid back and the good win in the end, don't we? Well, why is that? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Well, one of the main reasons is that our conscience, in the very fabric of our soul, is our conscience. And in our conscience is an inbuilt sense of justice. And the reason for that is that God has written his laws on our hearts. We are made in the image of God. This is why you can go to the most distant tribe and ask them if it's wrong to murder, to kill, to be disobedient to parents, to commit adultery and so on. All of those things, they'll tell you it's wrong. Because every man is made in the image of God. Now, however marred that image is in man, it's still there. That's why when somebody does wrong, we like to see justice, don't we? When there's a murder committed, we want to see the perpetrator punished, sentence passed. It is because of the moral law of God in our hearts. The moral law of God is reflective of him in whose image we are made. Genesis 1:26 says, God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness," having that sense of right and wrong. So it's fair to say, isn't it, that to some degree there is a legitimate, I'm choosing my words very carefully, there's a legitimate part of us that desires to see justice done. However wronged we may feel, God says you shouldn't do this. Why? We are fallen creatures, aren't we? And the reason why God does not want us to take things in our own hands is by and large we are inequitable. We take it too far. And at the end of the day, that is not the ultimate reason why God says we shouldn't do these things. Why we shouldn't take matters into our own hands. The ultimate reason is that God is the one that will bring out revenge in the end. God will bring retribution. God says to us, repay no evil with evil. God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Romans chapter 12. Don't take matters in your own hands. Do good to your enemies. Somebody strikes you, you don't strike him back. Now, our Lord elucidates this. He teaches this principle right here in the text. If you look at verse 38 with me, and we've got a lot of work to do on this tonight. We'll be looking at some of the Old Testament, but I want you to see. He says, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. So the first reason, and I'm going to put this as a proposition tonight, why we are fallen creatures, aren't we? And the reason why God does not want us to take things in our own hands is by and large we are inequitable. We are not fair. We do not do the eye for eye thing and the tooth for tooth thing. We go too far. Our Lord Jesus Christ, here, I want to remind you, if you look at the verse 17, he has already corrected any suspicions anybody might have that he is somehow overthrowing the Old Testament, that he is somehow ignoring the law, and that he is bringing in a new set of laws altogether. He's not doing that. Look at the verse 17. Let's come back to that principle. Think not that I am come to destroy the law. This is the law in the Old Testament. Or the prophets, I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And then he says, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. So the law is going to be fulfilled. He has come to confirm it. He has come to open it up to our understanding. Because very sadly, with the rabbinical teachers, the rabbis, the Jewish teachers, there was a false teaching. But the Lord Jesus Christ has come to open up God's law to the minds of people. Those aspects of the law of God which these false teachers totally and utterly neglected. He is going to bring it to the minds of people, and in doing so, he is going to expose the evil, totally evil and wretched teaching of these false teachers. Now, I'm going to surprise some people here tonight, because by and large in the world, most of the world, when the world looks at these verses, they think the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching something new. He is not teaching something new. When it says an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, he's not saying what Moses said is wrong, what the Old Testament says is wrong. You need to understand the context in which those things were given. And really, the whole context of what he's teaching here in the Sermon on the Mount is that unless your life and my life as Christians surpasses the righteousness of the Pharisees, we shall by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Look at the verse 20. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. In the Sermon on the Mount here, what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing is he's explaining exactly what God's people are like. They are not a lawless people. They have the law of God. And the law of God has been written now on their hearts, Jeremiah 31, that promise is fulfilled. And these are law-abiding people of God. The law now is their rule of life. It wasn't before they were saved. But they are not keeping the law in order to be saved, but they keep the law because they belong to the kingdom of heaven. And unless they have a righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, guess what? They're not Christians. And so the Lord here is teaching in this whole Sermon on the Mount that God's people have a standard and they live by that standard. They are different to these charlatans. They are different to these scribes, to these Pharisees. They really are born again. The tree has been made good and the fruit is good. And if you look at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, which really ends chapter 7, verse 12, and then right at the end, there's a little parable. And you know that parable? The parable of the two builders. One man built his house on the sand. He was the foolish man. And he represents the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all false teaching and false professors. But the Christian is the man that builds his house upon the rock. And then when the rain comes, the storm comes, the man who built his house on the sand, that house collapses. That's the picture of a man being destroyed on Judgment Day. But the man that has built his house on the rock is the Christian. And you know what the Lord says of that man who has built the house on the rock? This man hears my word and keeps it. In other words, he obeys my rules concerning my kingdom. He doesn't make up his own rules. He hears the word of God and he keeps it. He obeys it. Now, of course, we're not saved by a perfect life, but God's people are a different people. And so really, as we come here to these verses, which are teaching us about this whole idea of personal vendettas and how do we respond to people who persecute us, people who ill-treat us, how are we to respond to them in the world? Do we take matters in our own hands? Do we twist the law of God, as these people were doing, and then take out personal vendettas? Well, let's open up the Word of God. Firstly, what was the rabbinical or the rabbi's teaching and tradition? You've heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. What was their tradition and perversion of the law of God? Because they took these words of Moses and they put these words into the hands of the common man. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth was what we call the judicial law. I'm going to show you that in a minute. It was not meant to be placed in the hands of ordinary people, the common people. If you turn to Exodus 21, this is what we call the Mosaic law or the judicial law. And it's very important we understand this, because if we don't understand this here, we don't understand the context of these verses, we are never going to get to grips with what our Lord Jesus Christ is teaching. Exodus 21, verse 22. Here Moses is speaking to the nation. And there are going to be judges in the nation. And I want you to notice some things. And next time somebody says to you, "Oh, the Bible says an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth." There, contradicts itself, but Jesus says, go and do this. Turn the cheek. Point them to this passage. Exodus 21, verse 22. If men strive, that is, fight, and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, that's her child, the fruit of her womb, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished, according as the woman's husband will lay upon him. He shall pay, now notice, as the judges determine. Do you see that? As the judges determine. Verse 23, and if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. So this is what our Lord is referring to back here in Matthew chapter 5 and the verse 38. Ye have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Now again, what I'm saying is this is the judicial law. This is the Mosaic law, the national law, not a law that you could take and put in your own hands. And you see, because it says there that the judges determine. This is what the judge determines. And the court, the law, the nation executes judgment. An eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Okay? So what he's done here is he's quoted what the rabbis quote, but the rabbis are twisting it. The Mosaic law, the judicial law, was an excellent instrument given by God through Moses for maintaining justice, righteousness, and peace in the land. Think about it. Because if people knew in their hearts that if I knock somebody in the mouth and knock his teeth out, guess what I'm going to get back? The law is going to knock my teeth out. If I break a bottle and poke somebody's eye out with it or whatever, guess what? I've got the same coming back to me. If I take a man's life, if I hurt him, you see, it was a means by which God maintained justice, righteousness, and peace in the land. You would get hurt by the same exact injury back. Also, what it did is it stopped genocide. You can imagine somebody from another tribe, one of the 12 tribes of Israel, coming and hurting somebody in another tribe and killing a man. Well, that man's life was taken. It didn't lead to people being killed. And that's very often how it can get. A tribe can get incensed. Somebody says, he killed one of ours. Well, we'll wipe out the whole lot. We don't just won't kill one man. We'll wipe out the whole lot. So you can see here the wisdom of Exodus 21. It teaches the principle of what we call lex talionis, exact retribution. But, and understand this, it could only be used by the principle that the nation, the judges were carrying it out, not you and I. So you couldn't just, if somebody hurt you, you had to go to the law. And then the judges decide, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But it was never given to individuals to square personal vendettas against each other. Verse 22b, and let the judges determine. The authorities were the judges. So when our Lord says here, you've heard that it has been said, he is not overturning. You notice he doesn't say Moses was wrong. Do you notice that? He doesn't say, oh, by the way, Moses was a real harsh man. And the law is foreboding and stern and, oh no, but now you're in the New Testament. Now everything's changed. No, he doesn't say that. You see, the rabbis, it had got to such a stage where people were taking matters in their own hands, were carrying out personal vendettas. Instead of loving their neighbor and seeking to do good and going the extra mile, they were becoming just as bad as their enemies. So the Lord Jesus Christ is not correcting what was written in the law. But the rabbis, because of their long extrapolated misguided, bent, self-twisted rules and traditions placed this law into the very hands of the common man, which it was never meant to be put in. Okay? You've heard the expression, I'm sure you've heard of it, you have taken the law in your own hands. Have you heard that expression? Well, that's what these people were doing. The rabbis extended this to everyone. So they were saying to the people, my friend, you've got a problem. That fellow down the road, he took your eye. Well, you take out his eye. It's not a problem. He takes your tooth, you're entitled to take his tooth. So the law really became an instrument of unleashing personal revenge and a tool of vendetta in the hands of the people. And it was never meant to be that. It was meant to be a deterrent. So the next time somebody tells you, you know, well, the Bible is contradicting itself, please set them straight and show them what the Lord Jesus Christ was meaning when he said this. He was dealing with the Jewish false teaching. He was not contradicting anything here about what Moses had said. Now, secondly, tonight, we see our Lord's correction. Verse 39, and really it's also an elaboration on this whole subject. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Again, the Lord is, in this verse, he's not contradicting anything that Moses has said. He doesn't say that passage was the word of God. Yes, but it was in the Old Testament and it was unloving and so on. No. Go back to the verse 17. Think not that I'm come to destroy the law, but I've come to fulfill it. I've come to teach you people what it has always meant. And this is a reminder, friends. We may be living in the year 2014. Preachers mishandle God's word because people did it way back then and people do it today. Men standing up in pulpits. You have to pray for me. You have to pray for others that we don't mishandle the word of God. Now, if you please turn with me to Romans, Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 13. I want you to see very clearly here in the New Testament. The New Testament does give us very clear principles about the very fact that God has placed authority into the hands of authorities. He has placed the sword, that instrument of execution of justice, into the hands of authorities. And Paul is not contradicting what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. In other words, God has ordained, chosen these. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, that is the authorities around us, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers, there you have it, are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power to do that which is good? And thou shalt have praise of the same, for he that is the ruler is the minister of God to do thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth, now notice it, not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. The justice system in our country, in any land, has been ordained of God. That's what the Bible is teaching. And the fact that there are authorities, Paul says we need to pray for all authorities. We need to pray and thank the Lord for a justice system that we have. But, dear friends, don't get on the wrong side of the law, as people say it today. Don't break the law and don't think that somehow God is going to let you off because you're a Christian. A Christian that commits murder, though he is forgiven of his sins, he must be punished. So don't think because you're a Christian, God's going to let you off the hook, because the Bible doesn't teach that. You do the crime, you serve the time, or pay the punishment, which may even be capital punishment. And our Lord is saying here, as we come back to Matthew 5, verse 38, there is a law, but he's speaking here on a personal level. If somebody wrongs you, he says, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. Now, what is he saying? What is he saying when he says, do not resist an evil person. When somebody does you wrong, be very careful. Don't be very quick to bring justice on that person. There is a benefit. Now hear what I'm saying. There is a benefit in being vulnerable. Okay? When somebody does you wrong and you do them a good deed in turn, how does that make them feel? Very bad, doesn't it? If somebody smashes your window, your neighbor or whatever, comes with a baseball bat, smashes your window, and the next day you take him a cake. Imagine that. How's it going to make him feel? It'd make him think, won't it? Leave justice to the people who God has appointed. That's what God is saying here. If somebody strikes you on the cheek, don't strike him back. Give him a glass of water. Bake him a cake. Do something kind. Because what the Lord is doing here too, he's teaching, and I'm sure you've heard of it, go to Romans 12, he's teaching the principle of heaping coals on people's head. Isn't he? Have you heard that expression? You are actually dealing with a person's conscience. When you repay evil with good, let the Lord, God will take care of you. He has appointed the leaders, hasn't he? Isn't that what Romans 13 says? God has appointed all leaders. He has appointed the authorities. And look, even if you don't see justice in your time, guess what? There's judgment day coming. And God has a record of everything done wrong to you, his child. So take heart. Don't take matters in your own hands, because you and I, number one, if we take matters in our own hands, there's this great likelihood that we'll take things too far. Because we don't just repay the person the same way as what they've done to us, but we go too far. And that doesn't really help, does it? That doesn't help the situation. God says in Romans 12:19, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. You and I must trust God to bring justice. But you see, the Jews in this day thought that personal vengeance was a duty. Oh well, God says, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. So they thought it was their duty to get equal, even with people. They snub me, I'll snub them back. They insult me, I'll insult them back. They don't invite me to the wedding, I won't invite them to anything. They steal from me, I'll steal from them. And in these days, if you notice our text here, the Roman soldiers, it was the law that a Roman soldier could ask a Jew to carry something for at least a mile down the road. And you can imagine a man walking down the street and he's got three sons. And a Roman soldier comes up to him and says, "Hey, mister, carry my bags for me." And you can imagine how the man must feel embarrassed. Here he is as a grown man and he's got three sons. And who's this Roman soldier to ask him to carry his bags for him? Jesus says, "He asked you 1 mile, take it 2 miles. What's that going to do? Number one, it's going to show the man that you've got a good heart. Number two, it's going to make him think twice. Isn't it? Do you see the thinking? And so the Lord is teaching us here the way we should live. Now, this was a shock for the Jews to hear. Now, I say this, in our day and age, brethren, we have people, even politicians, who actually believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching something else here. Prime ministers, Gandhi. You know what Gandhi taught? Gandhi taught that Jesus Christ was a pacifist. That Jesus Christ was saying, if a country goes to war against your country, you don't do anything back. But again, let's go back to the principle. What is the principle here? This has to do with a one-to-one thing, doesn't it? It doesn't have to do with a nation defending its citizens and so on. Does it? No. This is, don't take out personal vendettas against people. Repay evil with good. The Bible teaches very clearly that if a country is at risk of being annihilated, it should and ought to defend itself. That's the right thing to do, because God has appointed the authorities and so on. But Christians, don't take matters into your own hands. It can't be right, because of that principle which I gave you earlier. We can't be trusted with our own hearts, can we? We can't be trusted with personal vendetta. I'll slap him, I'll do this or whatever. You can't trust yourself. And at the end of the day, you shouldn't be doing that. It doesn't feel good. I mean, personal revenge, which for a few moments might seem very sweet. You know the old saying, revenge is sweet, somebody says. Oh, revenge is sweet. Yes, but how long for? How long for? Not very long. Something in our hearts that knows. Although we know justice is right, revenge is not sweet for very long. And so he says, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn him the other also. Now, let's just say this. The Lord is not, we mustn't understand him in a crass, literal, wooden way. You know where he says somebody strikes you the cheek? You don't say to somebody, come on, here's the other cheek. Go ahead now. Please, I want you to do this. He's not saying that. But he's saying, be forbearing. He's not saying, ask for trouble, but don't have a spirit of vengeance. Leave that to God. Leave God to take care of all this. And then verse 40, if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. What he's saying again, don't take this in a crass, literal, wooden way. He's saying, don't get hung up about material things. Okay? Because after all, who is it that provides everything for you? God. You know, if that man's not going to give you a coat, don't tear it till it's torn in half. And he gets half, you get the other half. Look, God will provide all your needs in Christ Jesus. Don't get hung up about things. Life is too short to worry about those things. Leave God to take care of your affairs in life. Don't have this spirit. When the world looks at you, do they think, oh, does this person really believe God provides everything for you? When you act like this, when you're tearing that coat apart, you won't let it go, you're behaving like a worldling. Don't behave that way. Just give it to him. God will give you another one. God will give you two. If you let him have it, God will prove himself to be the great provider. Won't he? And God will have vengeance. The psalmist in Psalm 56:11 says, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do unto me? You put your trust in God. What can man do to you? David says in that psalm that we read earlier, Psalm 37, I've been young, I've been old, but I've never seen one of God's children begging. God always provides. The things that I've had to part with, but I'll tell you what, the Lord has blessed me. And there are other Christians that can testify to that too. Keep a loose grip on things of this world. The Lord will always provide. Now, where he says here, resist not that person that is evil, doesn't mean to say that parents, when children are misbehaving, that you just let them do what they want. No, as a parent, guess what? You are the authority over the child. And you've got to discipline them. Children aren't going to learn. So then this does not apply to parents letting their children do what they want and so on. It neither does apply to people in the church. Can the unruly church member just do what he wants in the church? And no discipline ever acted. No, no. Guess what? God has provided leadership in the church and discipline. And so that's right. So let's understand this in the proper context. If thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him a drink. In so doing, Romans 12:20, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Do you realize that? You can actually overcome evil with good. That annoying neighbor that you have, he's got his stereo on loud every Saturday night. Boom, boom, boom. Early Sunday morning, you're preparing your heart for the Lord's day. What do? Do you go out and shout at him? No. You be kind to him. Monday morning, he thinks you're going to have a go at him. You take his rubbish bin outside. Hello, sir, how are you doing? Treat him nice. You see, overcome evil with good. And that's how you win people's hearts. People feel bad, don't they? Oh, that's how I should be living. I should be just like that man. I should be just like that woman. Show Christ-likeness. You know, the Lord's, his enemies, they were so surprised the way that he treated them. Think of Judas. How did the Lord treat Judas? And the Lord knew what he was going to do. So turn the other cheek. The natural reflex is, you hit me, I'll strike you back. But the Lord says, no, you won't. Don't do it. Do it my way. Really, what the Lord is saying is that there is a benefit in making yourself vulnerable by turning the other cheek, however painful that might be. Have you ever been struck in the cheek? It's sore. It stings. And your natural reflex is to want to get your hand out and to do the same to the other person. Don't do it. Don't be tempted to do it. But do good. Charles Spurgeon said, we must be willing to be the anvil when the bad men are the hammers. We must be willing to be the anvil when the bad men are the hammers. We've looked at this load carrying, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. He was here speaking about the Roman soldiers, and I'm sure other things. People may place demands on you. Well, just be kind. Just go beyond the extra mile. You know, you've heard the expression, go the extra mile. Well, guess what? This is where it comes from. All of the sayings that are floating out there, my friends, they come from the Word of God. Go the extra mile. And you know what? There is great mileage in going the extra mile. Now, I'm sure that's a new one on you. But that's true. There is great mileage. There is great benefit in going the extra mile. Don't be like the man with his sons, feeling degraded. Because remember that the Lord God has appointed all things. And every opportunity that you are persecuted, it is an opportunity to shine for Christ. Think of every time that you are persecuted by somebody, it is a time to witness that you are different to the whole world out there. At the end of this chapter, the Lord says, be like your Father who causes his sun to shine on the just and the unjust. People who don't think and care about God at all. God is being good to them right now. But my friends, there's coming a day when people who don't have time for God now will have to answer to him. God's patience will soon run out. But you just leave that in the hands of God. Don't take matters in your own hands. And then, look, the fourth example here is money borrowing. Give unto him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away. Well, there was a very clear law in Exodus 22:25, if you lent money, you shall not charge him interest. If you've got money to lend somebody, just lend it to them. And if the person, and you know they won't probably pay you back, just write it off. Just say, I'm giving this to you as a gift. Give it to them as a gift. Then you don't have to worry about it. That's the best principle. Don't give somebody money who you know has got a drink problem. That's the worst thing you can do. Or somebody who's got a gambling problem. Buy him some food. Don't give him money. You've got to be wise. Ask the Lord to give you wisdom. Remember what our Lord says, freely you have received, freely give. You were probably once like that. Or maybe if you had grown up in the same circumstances of that person, you probably would have turned out like them. But think of it, who has made you to differ? God has made you to differ. And maybe, just maybe, you being different to that person might make them think, that person that has been so kind to me, what has made them to be different? And they might even just ask you, and you can tell them, the Lord. You know what, dear friend? God has freely given me a new life. I wasn't like this before, but now I'm different because God has changed me. And then maybe they'll inquire of the Lord. You just never know, do you? You just don't know how the Lord can work. But here's the whole principle behind all of these verses. Who are these people? They are the meek, aren't they? They don't take out personal vendettas. You go back, have a look at the beginning of this Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are they that mourn. They mourn over their sin, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek. They meek because they know that they are nothings and nobodies. And so they are meek. And what is the promise to the meek? For they shall inherit the earth. God is going to give them everything. And God is going to give his people to live and think like this, a new heavens and a new earth. Isn't that wonderful? Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Why are they meek? Well, because they have been born again. God has made them to see that they're nothings and they're nobodies. They are poor in spirit, and therefore they are meek. And therefore, they don't walk around as if the world owes them everything. But they are ready even to repay evil with good. Isn't that wonderful? But you see, that is the Christian life. And this is what it's all about. So now as we close, what are the realistic applications? Number one, dear Christians, I hope we've learned tonight that Scripture must be our rule of faith. Right? Scripture. The Bible. Number two, do good to all men. And the Bible says especially to the household of believers. Do good. Number three, do good to your enemies. Your enemy is unkind to you? Man, I tell you what, you should treat him better than anybody else. You'll soon change his mind. If you don't, at least you might even witness to somebody else. You know, you may not change that man's heart, but other people will say, man, I can't figure this Christian out. Look how he is treating him. And look how that man there who is a Christian is treating that other man. It might just be the observer who the Lord is having you witness to. You just never know. Number four, never, under any circumstances, repay evil for evil. Sometimes we do, very sadly. Sometimes it's for totally evil reasons. Sometimes it's because we have an inbuilt sense of justice in us because we are made in the image of God. But remember this, God who made you has a book in which the records of all men are written. we shall all have to give an account. People that have wronged you, God's going to square all things up in the end. Number five, pray for people to be saved. Really, that's why you and I are here. Pray that people will be saved, even through your witness. Number six, thank the Lord that he will one day recompense all wrongs. Thank the Lord for that. And number seven, thank the Lord he has had mercy on you. Because you and I never would be thinking this way, would we? Would we? If you say to somebody in the world, and I'm sure they would probably be laughing at us tonight, go and do good to people that do treat you so evilly, they'll say, what are you, crazy? Are you mad? Well, you see, you can tell them that actually, you know what? My friend, God should have sent me to hell a long time ago. But he didn't. And that's why I'm like this. May God help us, dear friends. May God help us to live like Christ, who, it is said of him, turned his back to the smiters and his cheeks to them that plucked off his beard. He did it all for us. He didn't need to, but in his love, he did. Amen.